We're doing the Sidur HaKabbalah. We're up to page 121 in the Machon Ofik edition, and page Ein Ches in the Musad Hav Kook edition, and we're really bringing the book to a close. That's it. Now we're up to the final chapter, really, the period of the Rabbanim, the Rishonim, and he had concluded the period of the Gaonim with Rav Hai Gaon, and he had said that in his day was Rav Shmuel ben Chofni. And he continues and says, V'chen haya b'acharit yamav, and in the end of Rav Hai Gaon's time, there was a rabbi named Hanagid, the leader, the Rav Shmuel Halevi, haya mikortova, which is probably Cordova in Spain, uvarach mitzad gzerot lemalika, and because of different decrees against the Jews at the time, he ran to the place called Malika, mitzad aflagat melitzotav.
Maybe Malaga.
Why?
Maybe Malaga in Spain too.
Ah, yeah, okay. Nitgalgela davar v'nasa karov lamalchut begranada, or Spain, because he was capable of expressing himself, and he had such good recommendations. They write here in the footnote that his store was next to the king's scribe, and the maid of the king's scribe would bring him stuff, and he would write for the scribe. And when he saw how wise he was, he kept asking, "Who is that? Who is that?" And finally, he found out it wasn't the scribe who kept writing things for him. It was Rav Shmuel HaNagid. So he ended up being close to the king by coincidence. I mean, Hashem worked it out that he wrote things the king saw. It was supposed to be the king's scribe that wrote them. And so he became the Nagid. He became the rabbi who was also given authority from the king. Migam chibel sefer b'chol ha-Talmud. He also wrote a book about concepts throughout the Talmud. Karo Hilcheta Gvirata. He is called, his book is called Hilcheta Gvirata, the great halachos. And he says you could rely on that book in almost everything. And his cloud went up, so to speak, in the year 4815. So that's almost 1,000 years ago. A little under 1,000 years ago. And after that, so one of the first Rishonim, this is the second generation of Rishonim, is Rabbeinu Chananel, v'aviv haya meretz Sfarad. His father came from Sfarad. Sfarad ordinarily is Spain. There are sources that seem to indicate Rabbeinu Chananel's father came from Babylon. Vishmo Rabbi Chushiel. His father's name was Rabbi Chushiel.
So here Sfarad could also mean Babylon and not just...
I don't know, no. I don't know how it could work. They have a long footnote on this earlier.
Right, because we don't know exactly if Sfarad can speak.
Yeah. I don't know. They have a footnote on that over here.
Since you were talking about Spain, it would make sense to bring another place that's not Spain.
They want to say that originally what was written was Sura, and when it was copied over by mistake, they wrote Sfarad. And the guy who copied it might have made him... That's what they want to say. Sfarad is ordinarily Spain. Vinishba. And he was captured. There's the famous story of the great rabbis who were captured by pirates at sea. V'nitgalgel ha-davar she'avar le'eretz Afrika b'mdinat el Kiruan. And then he was turned out he was sent out by the pirates. He finally was let out in Africa in the city of Kiruan. V'olid sham l'Rabbeinu Chananel ha-nizkar. And that's where he fathered Rabbeinu Chananel. And he explained, he wrote an explanation for three orders, Brali Moid Nashim Nezikim, in a very clear language, in a very correct quotations. Ela shekitzel b'perushomod, but he wrote very shorthand. Uvoto perek, and at that same time, nishba gamken Rav Moshe ben Chanoch ubdu kahal Kodova. Rav Moshe ben Chanoch, another Rishon, was also captured then, and the congregation in Cordova, they redeemed him. Now these three rabbis, there were three great rabbis who were captured at that time by the pirates, and this caused Torah to spread. It was, the poor rabbis captured by pirates, but at the end of the day, it caused a lot of Torah to reach places where they didn't really have good rabbis. The second one is Rav Moshe ben Chanoch. The Rav Shalom, it could be their rabbi or Rav Shalom. He realized what a big rabbi he was, and he said, he should be the chief rabbi. I'm not rabbi of the city anymore in Cordova. He said, I see that Rav Moshe ben Chanoch is a bigger rabbi than I am, and he stepped down and he made him Rosh Yeshiva. There's a famous story about how that happened, that he walked into shul and he was teaching a Mishnah and he got the explanation on the Mishnah wrong. But okay, Vayami Talmidav, and among his students were Rav Yosef ben Eviatur, Vaya Deoto Azman, Rabbeinu Nisim Shekibel Merabbeinu Haizal. And at that same time, another great rabbi that lived in that period was Rabbeinu Nisim, whose tradition was from Rav Hai. The Ra'ui Sheteda. And really you should know, She'adena ayu ha'yeshivot gdolot v'nichbadot. Till this point in Jewish history, you still had the yeshivas thriving. They were big, they were honored. La'talmidim rubim, they had many students. Toratam umanutam, they'd learn Torah all day. They weren't busy with any trade other than that. V'chol sheken roshei yeshivot v'nismachim begonut. And even more so, those who headed the academies and those who got smicha, those who were licensed as gaon, they'd never leave the academy day and night. They were studying. And they'd know the whole Talmud by heart or almost by heart. And they knew the Torah called the Talmud Sdurim b'fihem k'parshat Shema. And they knew the Talmud just like we know Shema. You tell a guy, Leman Yibrui Mechem, he knows how to continue. You tell a guy, V'chora Af Hashem, he knows how to continue. In Shema, we know how to continue. That's how they knew the Talmud. You'd say a line, they could continue. Umitokach lo ayu ro'in la'atzman tzichim la'arich b'chibureyem. And because everything was so crystal clear, you find that the works of that generation were very short, because they didn't see any point in explaining everything. Shekol ha'perush ha'yasadu b'fim, because everything, they knew everything. And there were a lot of people in the academies. Everyone knew the explanation of Talmud. So what do you have to explain? What everyone knows. To them, writing an explanation on Talmud was like writing a translation on the Talmud. What for? What are you going to translate? Every word? Everyone knows what it means. So today we have even that. But to him, that was the example. Who's going to write over the Talmud in another language? Obviously, you don't need that. So just like that, you don't need any commentary. So they didn't write almost anything. They wrote very little, be it in commentary, be it in halachic ruling. And even the little that they did write was only for the bad students. When they had a relative or a child who didn't learn as well as everyone else. So then they had to write something for him. So that's why we have these works. So they said, you know what? I can't sit here and teach you over and over again. You're not getting it. Everyone else knows this stuff. So I'll write it in short for you. And that really the commentaries that we have were crutches or works that were made for the weak students, the poor nephew, the poor kid who couldn't learn well. Membi suveto, membi dinin. Sometimes they wrote them a summary of the laws of Isurveter. Sometimes they wrote to them the laws of dinim, the monetary laws. Depending on what that person needed. Vekibanu kabbala bura. And we have a clear tradition, he says, al Rav Achai Zal, on the great Rav Achai who compiled the Sheiltos. שהיה לו בן ולא היה לי בו חפץ להיות שוקד כלל. He had a son who didn't want to learn at all. Poor Rav Achai. וחיבר בעבורו ספר השאילתות. That's why he wrote for him the שאילתות, כדי שבכל שבת ושבת כשיקראו הסדר, so that every Shabbos, at least that, when they read the parasha, יבאר לו בו הלכות ידועות מן התלמוד. He found a way, he wrote for him a work to explain to him the laws of the Talmud, because he had a kid who wasn't into learning. So he compiled for him the Shiltos. וכן קיבלנו ברבנו סעדיה ז"ל בספר הפיקדון, and that's a tradition we have about Rav Saadia Gaon in his great work, Sefer HaPikadon, שחיברו לאחד שנתמנה דיין בעירו. He compiled it really for someone who was appointed as a judge in his city. It was a city where everyone was businessmen, so they constantly were working on credit with one another. So they always had fights. I left you this collateral, I gave you this credit. And so the judge sometimes was at his wits' ends to know how to rule. So that's why Rav Saadia Gaon wrote this work, Sefer HaPikadon, dealing with the laws of collateral. And that's the way it worked with most of their compilations. They didn't write something for the nation at large, because the nation at large didn't need it. The students didn't need it. Whoever wanted to learn went and learned and dedicated themselves and knew it as well as everyone else. Okay, yeshivot ayu kvuot, you had set yeshivas, v'chol hakilot ayu mitnadvin la'amid sham ha'talmidim b'chavod gadol, and the congregations used to donate the funds to fund them honorably. Ad shekol ha'ratzot yumei marbeh shehayu sholchim b'neihem l'ilmod. It reached a point where throughout all the countries, people would send their children to these academies to learn. U'shelomdim kol tzorkam lefi ratzonam. And when they'd learn as much as they wanted, everyone would go back to his family, to his community. And so the land was filled with the knowledge of Hashem and his Torah. Some of these students were masters of the three orders, Chacham. In order to get the title Chacham, you had to know Moed Nashim Nezikim. Umehem B'Talmud Dalet Sidrei. And others were even better. They knew the fourth order, Ritzoni Lomar B'Tosefet Seder Kodshim. Vo Haya Nikra Etzlam Rav. That's how you got the title Rabbi. Rav was if you knew all four orders. Umehem B'Talmud Ashita Sidrei. And there were those who mastered all six orders, Ritzoni Lomar B'Tosefet Seder Zrim V'Tarot. Vaze Yaroi Shikere Gaon. That's when he would get the title Gaon. Remez L'Shishim Asechtot Shebashas. The word Gaon alludes to the 60 tractates in Shas, Kiminyan Gaon, like the numerical value of Gaon. 3, 1, 6, 50, the letters of Gaon equal 60. Ela Shaval Pichen, no Yukorin Ken, and then Ken Ismach mit Pigon Acher Baskamata Yeshiva. But he wouldn't get the title Gaon unless he really got Smicha from a Gaon with the agreement of the Yeshiva. And we'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem next time.